Blessed good morning to you in the wonderful name of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We invite you to stay tuned for the next 15 minutes to the Triumph of His Grace broadcast, sponsored by the Grace Bible Churches. We shall be giving you some more information about our churches towards the end of the program. However, we trust that our program will give you enlightenment concerning the truths of God's Word and encouragement to do His blessed will for your lives.
Hello, dear listeners. This is Carl Natrum, pastor of the Grace Bible Church in Paddock Road, Dalkey, St. Michael, greeting you in the name of our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. He who loved us and gave Himself for us, that we can have life and have it more abundantly. You can have that assurance in the Lord Jesus Christ even today. Listen to the word of the Lord as it comes to you and let it bring forth faith in us. Brother Patrick Garnes, pastor of the Grace Bible Church in Wellhouse and Phillip, to bring us a message from the Word of the Lord.
Greetings, friends. Last time we saw the assurance that was given in the prayer of the Apostle for the Ephesians to identify with when it comes to the brightness of their hope, the fullness of their inheritance, and of course, the exceeding greatness of the power of the Lord in terms of those who believe. And the Ephesian church, therefore, were able, as individuals, were able to embrace the power of God in that respect. The believer recognized more and more, therefore, the superabundant power of God in the change that He brought about not only in their lives, but as a church they could claim this blessing and know God's overriding power. We should not underestimate this, because the Apostle Paul emphasizes the role of the Lord Jesus Christ in exhibiting that mighty power, not only in the resurrection and, of course, the ascension, as he describes at the end of the chapter, but, of course, he recognized for the believers in the Ephesian church to recognize the exceeding greatness of his power in fulfilling all the needs of the church as a whole, the body of Christ, the fullness of Him that dwelleth all in all. And that power is extended and should be appreciated in the context of the fact that He is the one who made all things and the one who is the universal organizer, sustainer of everything. Paul emphasized this for the Colossians as well, that they might know not only His exaltation far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, according to chapter 1 and verse 22, but they might also recognize this in relation, as I said, to His universal power. The Lord Jesus Christ is highlighted as the one who is the architect, organizer, inventor, creator of everything that we can name as far as universe is concerned. Colossians 1:16, for example, says, "For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him." And I want you to notice, for Him as well. And if you wonder about the purpose of life, why are you here, what are you looking for, what is the purpose and objective of life, the Scripture gives the complete answer. Everything has been organized, created, and, of course, all for the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend, you will find your full fulfillment if you give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was before all things, and by Him all things are held together. And so, He who fills the universe with all that it takes in terms of sustenance and existence is able to take the church, the body of Christ, and give to it all that is needed. And as members of the body of Christ, I speak not of denominations, I'm talking about people who are born again, who know Christ as Savior. And in chapter 2, he explains and expands this concept even more by grace through faith, the blessing of the believer. And so we understand that power. An appreciation of that power is very clearly seen when we look at the concept of the vastness of this universe that he has made. You recognize the magnitude of his power, and it humbles us in that respect. We are told, for example, that the largest structure found to date is the Great Wall, a huge sheet of galaxies discovered in 1989 by Margaret Jeller and John Hirschkor while analyzing information at a center for astrophysics. The extent of the Great Wall was estimated at 270 by 700 million light years and 15 million light years thick. And if you remember that 1 light year is the distance that light travels in a year, about 6 trillion miles, then you come to understand the vastness of this universe. And he made it all. And that is only, by the way, one small area of the vast universe. No wonder the awesome power of God is revealed to all mankind, that he might see the glory of God even in the heavens and humbly express his faith in him and confidence in all that he can do. No wonder the declaration is made, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" My friend, you too can have the blessing that God has given in relation to the individual fellowship that constitutes his church. My friend, you can know this blessing and you can rejoice in the greatness of our God. I want to call your attention to the unfolding and explanation of that salvation blessing in chapter 2. In chapter 2, the chapter opens up with an understanding of the past condition of the Ephesians. It brings us also to appreciate the present change that the believers had. Verses 1 to 3 speaks to the past condition. Verses 4 to 10 to the present change that they have experienced. And then verses 11 to 13, the past classification which they were under, and then the present constitution, verses 14 to 18, that God had made in relation to them. And the chapter closes, verses 19 to 22, with the progressive composition of a dwelling place for God in the Spirit. It's a marvelous chapter, and it calls our attention to what God can do. Look at this matter first in the concept of the past condition. We remember that God's blessing came to them as a spiritual people, and the spiritual perception that God, that the apostle prayed for, was for a specific purpose, and that they might really be able to rejoice in the place where they were located as ones who were lights to shine for the glory of God. But their past condition was very clear, and the past condition is consistent with everyone. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So chapter 2 opens by saying, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation," our conduct, the word means conduct, "in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others." Those verses speak to the past condition of the Ephesians. And Paul, in explaining where we are located, where we find ourselves, they were dead in trespasses and sins. The word trespass has to do with a falling aside or a false step. The word translated sin has to do with missing the mark. Before being made spiritually alive in Christ, therefore, they were dead in trespasses and sins. That is, their sins had separated them spiritually from God. The fact is that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. In that same chapter, in verse 10, it says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." Huh? And also, in this context, it says, "They walked according to the course of this world." That is, the age in which they lived was allowed to define their behavior and their habits. They walked in the course of the world, the age in which they lived, and their walk was also dictated by the prince and the power of the air, that is, the influence of the work of Satan. In John chapter 14, verse 30, the Lord Jesus Christ calls him the prince of this world. And praise God that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who is the victor over the enemy in this respect. A third factor that is mentioned is that this is the same spirit that energizes the children of disobedience generally. So the Apostle Paul, in articulating the condition of the Ephesians, shows us where we see ourselves as well. And if you are saved, that is where we were before. And what a blessing it is to know that the Lord Jesus is able to deliver us and to cause us to know the blessing of newness of life. And this is the blessing that the Ephesians had entered into. after speaking, and their age, therefore, the apostle speaks to their conduct. We all had a similar conduct. Hence, he speaks of the scope of sinful conduct as included everybody. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Isaiah 53 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Hence, he speaks of the scope of that sinfulness, which includes us all, and then he goes on to speak of the self-will that is characteristic of the desires and the flesh and the mind's expression. And so he says, in that respect, we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past. And my friend, that is how we are until we come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the one who can make that difference and cause us to know the newness of life. And that is the newness of life that he speaks to in the next section, where he says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. And you can know that being made alive process, you can know that that newness of life is yours by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why not do that today? May the Lord richly bless you. Amen.
Dear listeners, once again, as you've heard the message from the word of the Lord concerning this great salvation that is through the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is for all of us. Even right now, you can call upon him and ask him to have mercy on you. And he, as you've heard, will answer you, dear friend. If you need help concerning this matter, or if you have done that, we would like to help you. We would like to pray with you. We would like to give you some literature. We like to talk with you. Call us at 427-1054. That is 427-1054. Or write us, please, and let us know of your need or your decision. But best of all, please come visit us at one of our churches and let us know how we can help you, how to encourage you and lead you to the place of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. We invite you to the Grace Bible Church in Wellhouse in Philip, or the Grace Bible Church in Birds River Deacons Road. Services begin at each of these churches every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. Then there is the Grace Bible Church in Paddock Road, Dalkeith, St. Michael, where services begin there at 8:30 every Sunday morning. Then every Sunday night, we have a service at each one of our churches. We like to encourage you to come and be with us. Also remember, after every morning worship service, we have a Sunday school hour and we have a class for every age. Then there is a Berean Baptist Bible Church in Colleton, 6 Men, St. Peter, where services begin 11 o'clock every Sunday morning and 6:30 every Sunday evening. We're looking forward to seeing you sometime and to come be with us in our services. Remember what the Bible tells us about salvation, and this great salvation you've heard about this morning. You need it, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Trust him. We trust you to have a good day, and may God richly bless you.
Amen.